This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The Congressional Budget Office releases projections on expected spending for the farm programs for the current budget year plus 10 years, the 10-year baseline, up to three times a year. CBO's June 2017 baseline for farm programs was released on June 29th. These projections identify expected outlays for Farm Bill program spending, assuming existing programs continue without changes, and will serve as an indicator of program spending available to Congress as crafting of the 2018 Farm Bill kicks into higher gear. Farm Bill math creates a few possible scenarios. Depending on negotiations between the budget and agricultural committees, the next farm bill could be required to be budget neutral, meaning any increase in spending in one part of the bill would require a decrease in spending elsewhere in the bill, or it could be required to have a net reduction. Given these budget directives, scoring a bill or estimating the additional outlays and potential savings relative to the baseline is one of the most critical components of farm bill development. From now through the Farm Bill's passage, any change in policy will require an estimate of the budgetary impact. A Farm Bill written in 2017 would be scored against this baseline, and a bill written in 2018 would be scored against a spring 2018 baseline, or, depending on progress in negotiations, could be scored against this June baseline. A USA Today article explores how a new trade deal between the European Union and Japan will likely affect exports of U.S. dairy products, particularly cheese. The deal does not bode well for U.S. dairy farmers. The EU and Japan will have lower taxes between themselves on dairy imports going to Japan from the EU, according to Dr. Bob Young, AFBF's chief economist. He explained the EU will be able to send more products into Japan than before. Caterpillar has a strong legacy of helping farmers. Check out the interactive timeline of Caterpillar's history to see early video of horse-drawn combines and learn how Cat tractors went from U.S. agricultural fields to the fields of battle during World War I to support the Allies. Eligible Farm Bureau members in Macoupin County can save up to $2,500 on new Cat machines. Visit the Illinois Farm Bureau website to learn more. The Environmental Protection Agency recently released proposed volume standards for 2018 and the biomass-based diesel volume for 2019. This proposal includes volume requirements for cellulosic biofuel, advanced biofuel, biomass-based diesel, and total renewable fuel for 2018. The 2018 proposed volume requirement for total renewable fuel is 19.24 billion gallons, down 40 million gallons from the 2017 volume standards and well below the lofty goal of 26 billion gallons set in the Renewable Fuel Standard Statute. Included in the 2018 proposed volumes are reductions in the volume requirements for advanced biofuels by 40 million gallons and cellulosic biofuel by 73 million gallons. Biomass-based biodiesel volumes were proposed at 2.1 billion gallons for both 2018 and 2019. Importantly, the 2018 biofuel mandate leaves untouched 15 billion gallons of conventional biofuels, in other words, corn-based ethanol, required under statutory levels. Two high-ranking Trump administration officials, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, made guest appearances Tuesday morning in Washington during AFBF's Council of Presidents meeting. Pruitt discussed with State Farm Bureau presidents the EPA's recent decision to begin rescinding the Waters of the U.S. rule, as well as other issues of concern to America's farmers and ranchers. EPA is returning power to the states and standing with farmers who have been hurt by misguided policies of the past, according to Pruitt. Following the meeting, Pruitt said the farming industry deserves regulatory certainty, and he is committed to that and committed to that today. The group expressed gratitude that their voices are being heard for the first time in a long time, and he looks forward to an ongoing partnership with the agriculture community in the future. During his speech, Zinke outlined the importance of supporting multiple uses of the nation's public lands. California is the largest milk-producing state, representing 20% of U.S. milk production every year. The Central Valley has nearly 1.5 million dairy cows and one of the highest concentrations of livestock in the nation. The Central Valley has faced some extreme heat already this year, with 9 days in June over 100 degrees. The historical average daily temperature in the Central Valley is 87 degrees, with a record of 111 degrees. This year, the temperature averaged 91 degrees and peaked at 109 degrees. July is typically the warmest month for this region, averaging a high of 95 degrees. However, the first 7 days of July shows this could be an unusually warm month as well. Temperatures were between 97 and 101 degrees July 1st through the 7th, with daily forecasts for the next 2 weeks all above 100 degrees. Milk production takes a significant hit during times of high heat due to animal stress. However, it's not just yields that will be affected. Extreme heat can reduce component levels and affect downstream processing by changing the yield in dairy products such as butter and cheese. AFBF and National FFA Organization on Wednesday signed a Memorandum of Understanding to grow leaders, build communities, and strengthen agriculture. The MOU outlines how the two organizations will work together to discover opportunities that benefit both their members and agricultural education students in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. This is an opportunity for us to share the story of agriculture and agricultural education, according to Mark Poschel, Chief Executive Officer of the National FFA Organization. Our organizations know that agricultural education provides leadership development, career success, and personal growth. This MOU allows us to recognize the role of school-based agricultural education. The MOU was signed in Washington, D.C. during a national meeting of State Farm Bureau presidents from across the country. AFBF President Zippy Duval said Farm Bureau has long supported agricultural education's critical role of creating opportunities for the next generation of agricultural professionals. This formal collaboration with National FFA will help us build on that legacy. We look forward to empowering young people to explore how they can be a part of agriculture's bright future, from farming and ranching to agribusiness and food-related careers. The recent trade agreement between the European Union and Japan is a threat to American agricultural exports to Japan. Veronica Nye, an AFBF economist, explained that the deal should show the U.S. that other countries are willing and able to strike trade agreements without American involvement. Nye said, "We tried to drive that point home when we were talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that it wasn't a matter of the United States participating or not, rather other countries basically having a party without us." Some American exports like corn and soybeans won't experience a significant impact from the agreement because the EU doesn't produce a lot of either. Other American agriculture exports to Japan, including beef, pork, processed foods, wine, and cheese, are going to be hit much harder. Everyone is concerned about water quality, and everyone needs to do their part in keeping good quality drinking water available for all. What's Your Strategy is a program that was designed to engage farmers in the nutrient and water quality issues facing agriculture by helping to provide information on possible nutrient losses from their production operations. This test will provide a snapshot in time of nitrogen levels in water collected from tile drainage, surface runoff, or nearby streams. To help find out what you may be losing from your farm, bring in your water samples to the local USDA office in Carlinville. Free confidential water testing will be offered on the third Thursday of the month, or July 20th, and bring in your samples anytime between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. to find out what your nitrogen and ammonium levels are in your water sample. Samples should be at least 8 ounces and taken as close to the testing time as possible. Keep refrigerated until testing occurs. Sample containers should be clean and free of any residual chemicals or detergents. If you can calculate flow, USDA staff will be able to complete additional calculations such as pounds per day that is leaving the sample location. If you need a sample bucket, please contact the field office at 217-854-2626 extension 3 prior to collecting the samples. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.